Does the name Tom Beaudet ring any bells or turn any lights on for you? Perhaps you will remember his commercials if you don't know his name. Tom Beaudet is the spokesperson for Motel 6, and he ends every commercial the same way. I'm Tom Beaudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you. Light. Light has always served as a metaphor to communicate a warm, welcome, and inviting hospitality. Light has also been a metaphor for being able to see the end of one's journey, especially if the path has been long and arduous. Finally, the light at the end of the tunnel. Light has also served as a metaphor for truth. And lights are lit as a liturgy for remembering someone or a special occasion, someone's birthday, or the lighting of the Olympic torch. Pastor Nancy Artberg, who serves Menlo Park Presbyterian Church in Southern California, told this story. When she was in college, there was a house across the street from her dormitory. It had a large picture window in the front, which wasn't unusual. And the Christmas of her sophomore year, they put a beautiful Christmas tree up in the window with the lights on. Nothing out of the ordinary. Until December came and went, and January went, and February went, and March went. By May and June, it became the talk of the neighborhood. Until one day, she writes, we opened the Whittier News and read the story of the parents who lived there, who had a son in Vietnam. They had decided that until their son came home, one way or another, that tree was going to stay lit. And for 3 years, that tree was in the front room, lit 24 hours a day. When there is that much love in a relationship, leaving the light on is a no-brainer. And the metaphor of leaving a light on really is at the heart of Christmas. From the beginning, the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, when the darkness of our sin, our own sin, not just Adam's or Eve, for they are simply representatives of all of us, of the original sin, that is sin to decide we know what is better than God when it comes to good or evil. We know who's in and who's out, and we know without question who should be in and who should be out. From our religion to our politics, from immigration to abortion, we really know who the truly needy are. But from the beginning, God had a plan. God's plan was to leave the light on so that we might find our way back to that communion and community with God in the garden. Before Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, God made clothes. Didn't have to. Wouldn't need to. They broke the rule, right? But God made clothes so that they could survive outside the garden. It was at that moment the light was turned on, and there would be a pattern of God turning the light on. There would come a time when God would give the law, so that people would be able to live together safely. And when they couldn't live together safely under the law, God gave judges. Judges to interpret the law. And when the judges couldn't interpret the law, the people asked for a king. God didn't want to give them a king. And yet they wanted one, and so God gave one. But the faithful of Israel were divided into blue and red states. And so they had a civil war. And what was a small country became two tiny countries the perfect pickings for the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and others. The law, the judges, the kings. Finally, the people said, God, if you give us a prophet, if you give us someone who will tell us what it is you want us to do, we will do it. God gave them prophet after prophet, but the prophets were killed or treated like discarded garbage. No one wanted to listen. But God kept trying because God had a plan, and that plan was to leave the light on so that we might find our way home, back to that relationship with God. Finally, after the last prophet, God did what any one of us would do. God simply said, I can't take this anymore. I need a vacation. God went on a hiatus. There was no word from God for years, decades, generations. No word at all until that moment in a little town of Bethlehem. God's voice was heard again in the cry of a newborn child. God was with us again. The Hebrew word for God with us is Emmanuel. The people who have walked in darkness, the prophet Isaiah said, have seen a great light, the light of the world, a baby born in Bethlehem. But you wouldn't know that, would you, if you get your religion from television or the internet or the radio or even the neighborhood church down the street where the children of a lesser God will try to convince you that the God of the Old Testament is some kind of hanging judge, a God who is full of wrath and judgment, and the God of New Testament is worthless because he's some kind of hippy-dippy left-wing nut. It is not that either the right or the left is evil. They just don't know. They just don't know the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Miriam, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of our God. You could say that they are in the dark. They are afraid to go to Bethlehem, afraid to go and hold the baby that needs to be fed and changed and held. This baby, this Savior, is just too delicate, too vulnerable, useless. This baby isn't going to punish the ones who need to be punished, nor reward the ones who need to be rewarded, because that's the kind of God we want. That is exactly the kind of God we want. But the kind of God we receive is the God who keeps the light on. Clothes for Adam and Eve, law, judges, kings, prophets, everything the people ask for, this God gives. My mother used to say, when we were children, if you want something done right, you need to do it yourself. And so God indeed does it. God does not come as a warrior or a king, nor as a judge or a magician, not as a social worker or a soldier, but God comes like everyone else who comes into the world through a mother's womb, naked, crying, vulnerable, unable to care for himself. It was as if God was shouting to us like the angels who shouted to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest and peace to all on earth. And it shouldn't surprise us then that this God who grew up to be a man and saw the destruction, the decay and the death, that our own sin, our own grievous sin, wrought on both creatures and creations, he took to preaching that there would be a new heaven and a new earth. Not that God was going to destroy this one, for God made a promise long ago never to destroy the world. Absolutely not. God does not intend to destroy the world, but rather to save it and die trying. In his death and resurrection, the baby born in Bethlehem, the one for whom there was no room in the inn and no one left a light on, became the light of the world, not just the light of the world, but the light that no darkness can overcome. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have the last word in this world. Like the Christmas tree kept one day and night until the family soldier son came home, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will keep the light on for you and for me until every last sinner, every last doubter, every last one of us, from the least of us to the best of us, find our way back to the garden, to communion and community with the one who is the creator and author of life. So that's what we do when we do church well. We leave the light on. We leave the light on, and we continue to celebrate the Eucharist. For the Eucharist is nothing less than Christmas every time you receive the body and blood of Christ. Over and over again, the celebration that God is with us, Emmanuel. We become what we receive, Christ's body, blessed, broken, and given for the sake of the life of the world. We receive his body, so to become Christ in the world, so that someone else will see in you, in your face, in your hands, in your arms, the light of God's grace and love. That's what the church does when it does what it's supposed to. We leave the light on, the light no darkness can overcome. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.